Data analytics and artificial intelligence are today the most important platforms to support the growth of any organization. In this area, Derivo is a strategic partner offering to their customers expert services that include data management, data visualization, predictive analytics, business intelligence, data science, data security, and cloud computing. We have helped customers like HSBC, Sanofi, and Bimbo to generate significant savings in their business, identifying new growth opportunities and reducing risk through data analytical platforms that improve their decision-making, transforming companies to be more informed with data-driven decisions. Derivo is a partner of the best data analytics technologies: Power BI, ClickSense, Tableau, Snowflake, Databricks, Synapse, Azure Machine Learning, etc. Staff your data analytics backlog in a nearshore schema with a certified team of consultants. Derivo, release the power of data.
Hello, I'm Dr. Beverly Wright, and welcome to TAG Data Talk. With us today, we have Patrick Halpin, Vice President of Data Science at 8451. And we're talking about building and managing the data science product. Welcome to TAG Data Talk, Patrick.
Thank you very much, Beverly. I'm really excited to be here to connect with you and talk about this.
Awesome. Well, let's start off with a little background. Tell us, why are you so cool?
Why am I so cool? It's probably more where I work and what I've had the exposure to do than me. I've had the opportunity to work at some leading data science companies that are out there, get my hands dirty with building models, leading a lot of great teams to build models that are out there, and then trying, you know, whether it's been in the grocery retail space, whether it's been in transportation or gaming space, been able to do it across multiple industries. So sort of a wide breadth of experience that's out there. And I think more of being cool would be, you know, my teams are super cool and what they do is super cool. And I just get the benefit to watch them do their terrific stuff and guide them.
Well, that's always fun.
Yes.
We've been hearing a lot in the industry, the buzz on the street lately, about data science products, right? Like, it seems like we used to talk about data science on a project basis, you know, kind of has a start, it has a stop, hopefully you learn something from it, and then you kind of wash, rinse, repeat sort of model like that. But now we're looking at it as a product. What does that mean when we talk about a data science product?
Yeah, when we're talking about a data science products, you definitely have the AI, data science model builds that same component out there when you talk about data science, but now we're really looking at sort of the entire end-to-end process of it. So you talk about, hey, I can build a model to predict like what offer to give somebody, a product recommendation you may see there on any website. So that's the data science part, but the product really is going from the ingestion of the data that you need to make that system happen all the way through all the different steps of the process to making it live for the customer or whatever system it comes through. So sort of that entire piece. For me, it also includes, like, a lot of businesses create scorecards or dashboards or other insights. It's just sort of all the pieces it takes to create that experience for whoever the end person is from end to end.
Okay, gotcha. So maybe in the past when we talked about data science, or I would hear people talk about the analytic, meaning like the resulting, the thing that gets as a result of an analytic exercise, it's either an insight or some kind of technology solution that's integrated into a system. But maybe the difference is the front and the end, and that it kind of falls into a circle, if I'm hearing you right. It sounds like You're saying the data science product is more cradle to grave in the sense of like all the way back to the very beginning, not just the modeling part. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. That is fair. Or it's the like entire product that is part of, yes.
Okay. Why do you think this has come about in our world? Why are we hearing more about data science products now as opposed to looking at it from a different perspective? Could it be the operationalization or the scalability concerns that we have? Or do you think it's that we weren't looking at the bigger picture, or maybe it's a combination, or maybe it's something else? What do you think drove the need to start referring to this as a data science product?
I think there are multiple things on it. I think you touched on one, sort of the operational piece of it. If I think of creating a pricing system, creating a system that'll recommend products, like it's not just the data science that matters. It's the whole entire system, or you think about it as a product that's out there. I think one of the other pieces that has sort of made come to the forefront is just the explosion from the technology standpoint. What we can do today from a data science standpoint, or have it come to life, is entirely different than 10 years ago, 15 years ago, for things that are out there. Maybe we're used to look at individual pieces of things, but now we're looking at the whole entire product that's out there. I think those are two of the main driving factors. Probably the last one is, like, you need that entire system to plug into sort of a business and a capability, because that's where you're going to see the benefit from it.
Got it. Okay. So the three top reasons that you think we're moving more toward a data science product mindset are, it encourages people to think about the whole system, not just the analytic part, or not just the model building part, but the whole system of what has to happen. It's kind of like you think about, you know, a baby and what it takes to get the baby from the very beginning all the way to being born. It's not just the one piece of carrying the child. There's all kinds of stuff that has to happen before the baby is actually born. And these projects are in some ways like that. We have to look at the whole picture. Secondly, you mentioned that from a product standpoint, this is more of a capability. And you didn't say it directly, but I felt there was a sense of building a product gives you a more solid capability as opposed to a temporary solving of a problem.
Yep. Yes, yeah, that's
more like something you can put on the shelf. Like, this is not completely going to disappear and fall between your fingertips. It's something that is solid that you're putting on the shelf, and you can pull it back out later. And then thirdly, you mentioned you want something that is you're able to plug into the business, and having something more of a product makes that more capable. This, again, I'm using this term solid, meaning that it's less liquid, and it's something that you can take and say, like, okay, here's the thing. And hello, business partner, I need you to figure, you know, help, let's solution together and help figure out how we can plug this in for real benefit. And those are your top three reasons why we're focusing more on a data science product mindset, as opposed to the more easily falling apart, if you will, data science project.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, great. So some of the other things that I was thinking is, can you describe this end-to-end process, and you started with ingestion. Can you walk us through, since we're saying that this is a more holistic approach or a bigger picture, can you walk us through some of the big steps? It doesn't have to be every single step, but maybe kind of walk us through the big steps involved or the big parts of the process in product development for data science.
Sure. That sounds great. I think first step I would call out would be is the whole idea about the project framing and the scoping, right? I need to know what we're trying to solve, why we're trying to solve it, who we need to be working with, what are the key business things I'm looking for, who will be my key partners, what are some key success criteria. Like, that is probably the most important step and the first step when you think about a data science project. And it's not just about the method I'm going to use or how I'm going to solve it. You need that good scoping and framework that would be out there. Once you have that piece, if I was a data scientist, probably the next biggest step here would be sort of my data wrangling and prep, right? What's all the data I'm going to use and need to build this solution out there, to have it plug into a product? After that, sort of think of the bucket from coding, building, testing, and QA. Sort of, I'm in my lab, I'm mixing all the different things, trying to put it together, see what would work, what might work, how it might work. Once you get that all finalized, you're probably moving on to the deploying and the scaling piece of the product. Once I sort of proved out that piece, now I got to go deploy it and scale it. And the last step in general, I would call sort of the maintenance and the ongoing health checks and the diagnostics. Like, once I have that model out there, or once I have that product out there to make product recommendations for someone, you know, I want to look and monitor it, see how is it doing, how is it performing, do I need to make changes to it, updates to it. If think if I drive a car around, right, I have normal oil changes and things I would do to the car to make sure it's performing it as well as it can be. Those would be high-level, sort of just the high-level steps. And along with that, it's not just the data scientists here. It's usually a whole bunch of different personas of people in it, business people, technical people, engineers, data scientists, product people that all have this come to life in different steps in those process.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, that building a data science product is not solely the responsibility of data scientists, that there are several players that have to get into that process to make it happen. Good point. You talked about the problem framing, and that's one that I keep saying I want to write a book about it, because I don't think that we're solving the right problems a lot of times. We're so interested in getting into the data. I used to have students that would just say, when I would give them a real world problem and they would work with a real, you know, real company with a real data set, and they would say, just give me the data. Let's let me get started with the data. And I would say, close your laptop. Don't even talk about data. We got to first figure out what the business problem is before we start figuring out what kind of data we need. So are you finding that there are some steps, Patrick, that tend to, like, where are we falling short? You know, I feel like problem framing might be one. Maybe we have data and coding down and some of the others are more of a struggle. Where would you say?
I would definitely agree with you from the framing as being one of the most important steps that would be out there, not just framing the problem, but understanding the business needs and what they would consider to be successful on it, right? There's no shortage of math techniques or AI or ML techniques to solve a problem. But you definitely need to make sure the business teams understand how you're going to solve it, take along the less technical people on the journey that are out there so they don't have questions. Mm-hmm. Or so when they have questions, it's very, very easy to answer. Having something completely black box, if something goes wrong, I think it's really hard for business people to understand or accept it from a product standpoint. I think the next thing that makes it difficult would be sort of the deploying and the scaling I talked to before. It's not just the data scientist who's in on this. You have multiple other teams. Some companies work all cross-functionally, right? Other companies, maybe I do one piece, I hand my piece off to another team, I hand my piece off to another team that's out there. And if you don't, to your earlier point, if you don't do the framing and understand the entire scope, then I may actually develop a model or a solution that can't fit into our system requirements. Maybe it doesn't finish in time. Maybe I don't have the technology to support the scale I need to score on it. Maybe it's bringing back the wrong result. So I think the deploying and scaling. And then the last piece, I would say it's difficult, that people probably underestimate, think, hey, it's all right, is the maintenance and the ongoing health checks that are out there, products. So like maybe people don't think it's difficult, but I think it gets overlooked too many times. I need to know how the whole product is performing from a model prediction standpoint, from a runtime standpoint, from what data is coming in. Has that changed? Like if I had a model 3 years ago that predicted how many people would come into a grocery store, you would get one answer. COVID hits, completely changes that answer, right? So all the different models I would have built or how I would adapt for that or staff a store completely change. Right. And I don't think people pay enough attention to that part of the health checks. And there are the technical health checks. How good is my model? How fast does it run? But then there are also the business checks. Like, does that make a difference? Has something changed in my business?
Right.
It's not like they're changing the data on the inside or the out. So that's probably not one of the more difficult ones that people think about. I think they take that step for granted.
Yeah. That's a good point. I was working on a scorecard with a company that makes a nugget. Let's just leave it at that. And then their competitor came up with a nugget that was different. And so people started comparing their nuggets and saying like, well, yours is all of a sudden not good enough. And I want this one. And nothing changed in their business, but all of a sudden there was this, you know, the models weren't working right. So yeah, I agree. You have to really stay on top of that. And I'm not sure the schools know how to do that. You know, the training that comes out for the students, because we get them as a professor, we get them one semester at a time, right? And it's hard to sort of sequence them together and collaborate with the other professors and think about the whole program and what that would look like from end to end. So I can see how that would be something we'd fall down on a little bit. So what do you recommend? Like, what do we do? Is this a, gosh, Patrick, is this a training thing? Is this a, we need better project managers to outline these steps thing? Is this a mindset? Is this a leadership? What can we do to get better about how we go about building data science products?
I think for what you brought about, I think there's one part when we think about sort of the schooling part of it and the education piece part of it. Yeah, I think it would be awesome if, like, as you train people up on the different techniques, right, you do that other step to bring all those classes together and sort of help educate the next round of data scientists, the next round of engineers, the next round of product owners, so they understand the full picture when they're out there. After that, I truly think it goes back to that first step. It's really like, who are the teams I'm working with when I originally go frame this problem out, take that step back. So looking for 10,000 feet to say, okay, what is the end-to-end solution? Who are all the teams I'm going to need to work with? Who are all the business partners I'm going to need? I don't think it's the same answer for each company, because I think it needs to flow in how they work, who they work with, how their teams are organized. But I think if they can pause and take that step back from the start, they can do it.
Am I oversimplifying this by saying that it sounds like you're describing problem framing?
Yeah. Yes. So I think
problem solving, really, just simple problem.
Simple problem framing at the start. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's some of what you're describing to me sounds like we're really just dealing with trying to solve problems instead of trying to build models. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think that's the first part to it. Yes, trying to solve the problems, right? You want to look at all aspects of the problem, the technical aspect of the problem, the business part of the problem right there, the data science part of it. Yes, I think okay. You want to do that. I think the other switch too is, I've used a term before, look, you want to make sure you're building this with the end in mind. I'm framing it, but I want to build it with the end in mind through all the different steps that are there. I think those two are the biggest things. There's no shortage of techniques, right? There's no shortage of compute in these days. What AI can do nowadays is unbelievable, right? Write my papers, have discussions, drive my cars, whatever else. Like, there's no shortage of what it can do. To your point, like, do we have it framed right such that we put all those different pieces together and can leverage them the best?
Gotcha. Okay, very good points. What would you say is the final piece of advice? Like, if you had to give our listeners one piece of advice about how to build a good data science product.
So past the product framing that you talk about, I would say it's making sure you're taking others along on the journey. And that's at the other team members along on it. It's your business partners along the way, right? There's a lot of stuff that's really complex in AI, and we have to demystify stuff. So the more that gets demystified across from start to finish, I think there's a better chance that it gets accepted. So yeah, taking others along on the journey would be the other piece of advice.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Thank you so much to Patrick Halpin, Vice President of Data Science at 8451, for talking to us about building and managing the data science product.
Thank you very much.